Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Can you say the first and the greatest commandment? And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang or hinge all the law and the prophets. And we've read from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Now, don't let this be a casual reading and let it just slip by. Someone came to Jesus who was well acquainted with the law. You talk about legalists. Man, they were then and they are now. And any good Jew will tell you, is it 630 or 633 laws that they have to keep? Can you imagine waking up in the morning and knowing you had 630 things to do all day long, along with whatever else you have to do? I am so thankful to declare up front that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. I don't have to wake up in the morning with my 630 or 33 things to do to be born again, to be saved, to be acceptable with God. But thank God when I wake up in the morning, I can praise that name that is above every other name. And so being aware of all of these, they said, which is the most important law of all this 630 laws? Can you imagine that? And Jesus said, and it's said in more than one place, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Now in traveling, man, you talk about love in New Zealand. They love their sports. I mean, they love their sports. And I mean, what we would call football in Australia or New Zealand, you don't even want to be on the sidelines. It hurts me to watch it. We were waiting there in the hotel one day and we watched, and I mean, somebody hit this guy, no helmet, you know, no helmet, no pads and all this that our people wear. And I mean, someone hit him and I mean, blood was running down his face. He goes over to the sideline and the doctor wraps him up, puts a big whatever on his head. In 10 minutes, he was back in the game and going at it again. I mean, you know, maybe I just am not in the spirit on that. I don't know. I don't quite understand how all that works. You know, if you've been injured enough that your blood's running all over your body, that's not the best time to go back into the game. In my thinking, of course, you know, I could miss it on that. But what I'm saying is, as you travel around the world, and you know, even in our nation, just let me put a little snippet in here. Don't let sports be your God. I love sports. I love to watch fast cars run. I've been out to Texas Motor Speedway, and except for needing a chiropractor when you got through, you know, it's pretty hard to keep up with all those cars going, you know, you just have to get up high enough where you can kind of see what's going on, or your neck will be in terrible shape when you get through there. Yeah, I mean, I like to see action. I like, you know, I love the rodeo when it comes, and it will be here before long. I just love to see people that are dedicated to what they do. But boy, to watch those bull riders, what those guys go through and get back on another bull, they're tough hombres and some of the least paid in the whole athletic industry. But be that as it may, what is the first love of your life? Just let that soak in. Because I'm talking about personal priorities for life. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart. That's serious stuff. All of your mind, all of your heart, with everything that is in you. I haven't seen a bumper sticker in a long time, but we went through a phase of I love this or I love that, and we had bumper stickers. But folks, do you know the most important thing you can do outside of being born again is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart? And I mean, who can judge who for that? I'd like to, I want to, I'm committed to, but only God knows where I would be on the scale of heaven. I want to be that though. That we love God with our mind, with our heart, with the entirety of our being. And so the first thing that God spoke to my heart is that we're to love God more than anyone or anything. We are to love God more than anyone or anything. Some terrible crimes have been committed because people fell in love with the wrong person. And their passions just got away from them and they did something they would have never done otherwise. To love God. I mean, we're not gathered here today just to hear Pastor Bob Nichols preach. We're not gathered here just today to hear the beautiful music of the praise singers. We're not just gathered here to bring our tithe and offerings. But our corporate gathering is an expression of, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I thank God for His goodness and for His mercy. It's a point of remembering. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was zero, but now something wonderful, something beautiful has come into my life. I want you to write that down, that first we're to love God more for who He is than what He does for us. You know, I preach and I teach and I believe with all my heart. You can't evangelize a city or the world with a broke church. And I believe that it's God's will that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. But oh, child of God, listen. We are to love God more for who He is than what He does for us. If He never did another thing for us, we're indebted throughout eternity. Oh, I love God for who He is. He loved me when I was unlovable. Before the foundations of the world, He had a plan for Pastor Bob Nichols, who was far from being a pastor at the time, that I gave my all to him. We're to love God more for who He is than what He does for us. I'll teach as long as I have breath in my body. You know, some people say, well, you should never expect God to give you. Now, come on. You know, you expect everybody else to give to you. Come on now. You're not beyond receiving. We need from men. We need from women. But most of all, thank God for who He is, not just what He does for us. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And then, of course, the second commandment is that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And the reason this tragedy happened this last week, the man didn't love himself. He had no respect for himself, and therefore he had no respect for anyone else. Did you hear what I said? And we're all running around like a dog chasing his tail. What happened? Sin. Wrong religion? Sin. How many heard what I said? Just lift your hand and wave. What went wrong? I tell you what went wrong. It's spelled S-I-N. Wrong religion, wrong commitment, wrong God, no God. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus came to give us life and healing and help. He came to find the lambs that were lost. He came to heal the lives that were broken. Thank God for Jesus. Ours is a religion of healing, of help, of encouragement. Ours is a religion, I don't like that word religion, but you know what I mean, of hope, of faith and hope and love. I'm proud to be a born again believer. I'm proud of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm proud of His birth. I'm proud of His life. I'm proud of His death. I'm proud of His resurrection. I believe in Him with all of my heart. Second priority that God spoke to my heart, and I wrote it down, and that is to know God. And there's scriptures for every one of these. Daniel 11:32, but they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. To know God. To know Him. To know Him. You can meet someone, but you don't really know them. To know God better than you know anyone on the face of the earth. That's the cry of my heart. I want to know God. Paul said that I might know Him. And when Paul says that, I wonder if I've even started the race. I mean, when this mighty man of God said that I might know Him, and this wasn't the first day that he started serving Him, it makes me want to get on my knees and say, I want to know Him better. That I might know Him in Philippians 3:10. Job said, now I know. So the second priority, personal priority, and I'm passing them on to you because every one of these has a scriptural verse and foundation, is to know God, purpose to know God better than you know anyone else. You've heard me, when we were returning the other day from Maui, I'd heard about Him, I've heard Him sing. But, we sat right next to Willie Nelson on the plane all the way, several hours, right there. Well, I met him. We talked. And we had several conversations. But to say I really know him, I've met him. But see, to really know someone, you have to spend time. You have to spend some quality time with people. You can meet someone. You can say, oh yes, I've met this one, and I meet some people. They have plaques on the wall. It seems like they've met everybody in the world but God. You can meet somebody but not really know them. But it's important to know God. Because when you know God, you know the character of God. And you know that He's a good God. Oh, the heat that Oral Roberts took when he first declared, God is a good God and the devil is a bad devil. God is a good God. The third priority that God brought and impressed me with, and I wrote it down at that time, was to please God. To please God. Now, let me tell you that anything I'm saying is not for you to be born again. It's not to keep you saved, but it keeps us walking in the highest fellowship of God. When you sin, it does mean that you've lost your salvation, but I'm talking about walking in the favor of God. And Jesus said, and there again it is in John the 8th chapter, verse 29, I do always the things that please my Father. Well, Bob Nichols, can you say that? No, I want to. It's my faith commitment. I want to do the things that please my Father. I found out as a boy, life goes better when you please Dad. Anybody else find that out? When I did my own thing, it was an interesting life. But when I did what was important to Dad, some people are only doing what's important to them. But when I did what was important to Dad, things just went better around the house. When Dad says, mow that vacant lot next door to the house with a push mower with thick Bermuda grass, no motor, I was the motor. And I'd get about a fourth of the way through and I was worn out, especially after a good rain. Dad would come home and the mower's still out on the on the grass. Son, you didn't finish your job. Well, Dad, I got tired. Well, Dad wasn't mean. He wasn't a mean man, but he was happier when I got through with what he told me to do. Right? So to please God, I always do the things that please my Father. You know, it was said in Hebrews 11:6 of Enoch that he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, I've come to a conclusion here. It's possible. Someone under the Old Testament, back when, not since Jesus, but before Jesus, someone walked with God and purposed to walk with God, and he disappeared one day. The logical explanation, some people said he got closer to God's house than he was to Enoch's house. And so God said, let's just go home to my house. But he had this testimony, and that is that he pleased God. He pleased God. You know, I want to be a God pleaser. I don't want to work at displeasing God. Now, I'm not talking about salvation, so don't get, I'm not trying to put works on you here today. But I'm telling you, things go better when it's in your heart to please God. You know, there's some things I could do. But I want to please God. There's some things I don't do that other preachers sometimes or other laymen do. I choose not to do it because I feel that it could be detrimental to my testimony. It's not the worst. It's not the end of the world. But in my heart, it's not good for me. It's not good for my witness. You know, some people wouldn't do anything. They're just selfish. They want to do what they want to do. Think about what you do. Think about what you do, that it bring glory to God, to please Him. I do always those things that please my Father. Always. Man. You see, if you're not there right now, just purpose to get there. That's what I'm talking about. In fact, that applies to the whole message this morning. Who of us are perfectly there? But if you're not going somewhere, then you're going nowhere. If you're just driving down the road and you say, where are you going, man? Oh, man, what's up? You know, I just follow the radiator cap. Wherever the car goes, I go. You'll never get to Los Angeles that way. You'll never get to Houston that way. You've got to have a purpose. You've got to have a plan. You must be on the right road. And it may be a boring road. Oh, I've often said I haven't lost a thing between here and Pueblo. I haven't lost a thing. I mean, it's jackrabbit territory. Wind blowing, tumbleweeds blowing. But when I begin to see some mountains, then I say, the journey is worth it. Then when I get in the midst of the mountains, I said, praise God. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Hallelujah. I'm in the mountains again. I love the mountains. Most of you do too. Praise God. To please God. The fourth thing that I wrote down, and that is to live clean and pure before God. Psalms 24 said, who shall stand in His presence? Who's going to dwell in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. You know, it's hard to do much sinning without your hands getting involved. I mean, if you get into some serious sinning, in fact, what gets you into serious sinning is your hands. If you don't have hands, then it's your spirit, it's your heart, you understand? But I mean, these hands can get you into trouble. These hands can, well, you're already ahead of me, to live clean, pure. Let Pastor Bob Nichols say something to you. I'm as much a man as any man in this congregation. Now, I hope that doesn't, I've never said that before, and if that sounds arrogant or prideful, I don't mean I'm the strongest man. I don't mean I'm the most handsome man. But God's Word teaches us. Folks, listen to me. We are in a day. My head spins. Purity has gone out the window. You sleep where you want to sleep. You do what you want to do. You drink what you want to drink. And then some people, I mean, because the preacher does it, they do it. I knew what to do with this woman. I knew what not to do when we were courting. I know I'm in some deep waters here, but that's okay. If we don't, now listen to me. If we don't turn the ship, Someone's got to teach young people, you don't sleep together before you get married. And if you have, repent and let God make you strong. This is not a message of condemnation. Someone's got to do some preaching along these lines. See, there's big churches, but they never mention sin. Sin is no win. Sin is a thief. Sin will take you further than you intended to go, cost you more than you ever intended to pay, keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. And I'm not just harping on something, but, you know, I mean, you're on these airliners, and you say, do you watch? No, I didn't watch one movie. One man from the time that plane took off over just one seat, he's watching a movie from the time that plane left. I mean, one, and I've never seen such crazy stuff, and it's dumb. It's demonic. He watched that until, in fact, they cut it off because the plane was getting ready to land. I don't know how many movies he went through over that period of time. He finally aced out and got a good Western. And, you know, the horses and the mountains and cowboys. I don't know what it was all about, but I didn't see anything vulgar. With every other movie, somebody's going to bed with somebody they shouldn't go to bed with. I've never seen so many, I don't mean nudity, but I've never seen so many bed scenes in my life as when you travel. You say you shouldn't watch. It's all around you. It's all around you. And you just almost have to put a horse. I did think of this. We ought to probably just take some horse blinders with us. But I mean, every once in a while, you can't help but see something going, you know, crazy stuff. And I said, no wonder people are so whacked out of their minds. They watch this stuff all the time. No wonder people are weird. No wonder people are goofy. No wonder. That's not the way life is. And young people say, oh, yeah, that's the way. No, that's not the way life is. That's the way Hollywood is. There's not a man of God in the world that won't do more to help somebody that's missed it, that I'm aware of, than this guy standing right here. I've waded into the pits more than once to help somebody out of a mess. I'm not a preacher of condemnation, but you can't keep doing what is wrong and having right results in your life. It just doesn't work that way. I don't care what they did in the Old Testament. They were, a lot of them were a mess too, you know. To live clean and pure before God. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Do the right thing. Think the right thing. Read the right thing. Don't attend the wrong thing. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Hey, that's good scenery. To see God. I saw him high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. He wasn't watching porn. He wasn't watching questionable stuff. He wasn't watching whacked out stuff. As a pastor, I have to deal with the tail end of this type of thing. The butt end of this kind of thing. If there's any dealing with to be done. And you just get tired of dealing with crud stuff. When it shouldn't have happened anyway. Maybe I'm a little coarse this morning. Forgive me. I don't usually. But I mean, if you've missed it, there was a time in my life when I missed it. But I'm going to tell you what. When I had a face-to-face experience of reality with Jesus, so help me God. I can't say I've lived perfectly, but I've never gone back. I've turned my heart to Jesus. And I mean, that was a turning point in my life. And you don't just taper off on your sinning. Just say in the name of Jesus, I don't go there anymore. I don't read that anymore. I'm not a part of that anymore. And if you've missed it, confess. 1 John 1:9 is not written to unbelievers, it's written to believers. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Oh, there's times I've had to I've had to go visit that several times a day. But I stayed with it. And I'm purposed to stay with it. Here's the thing. God called us, and He called us to do the right thing. He called it. One day you'll be a father. One day you'll be a mother. One day you'll have children. And then how are you going to feel about stuff? How will you look at it when you're the person of authority and you're the person in control? Well, to live clean and pure before God, better get away from that one. No, I'm not better get away from it, but I've got to move on. Also, to obey God. To obey God. 1 Samuel 15:22. You remember when Saul, prophet of God, came to Saul, and Saul had all of his excuses. You know, sin always has an excuse. I saw somebody the other day. I've known them for years. They have more excuses than a dog has fleas. They can give you more excuses why they do what they do or don't. I mean, they've got a story for everything. But that still doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right. And to obey God. And the word of the prophet of God from God to Saul was, to obey is better than sacrifice. I like what Oral Roberts said. It's better to do the right thing now than try to give a big offering later on to cover up for something, which it doesn't work that way anyway. Just do right when it's in the power of your hand to do it. To obey God. To obey God. And you know, to obey God's a faith choice. My flesh doesn't always feel like obeying God. I mean, angels don't begin to sing and I hear the choir of heaven. And I mean, I'm lifted up into the third heaven when I make a right, righteous decision. There's been times it took every ounce of faith I had to say, no! No! I don't think that way anymore. I don't live that way anymore. That's years ago. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and no, I'm not going there. That's not my thought. I refuse to house that thought. Go in the name of Jesus. And I tell you, Satan's a little slow. He doesn't catch on real quick, but he'll finally realize you make sense and that you've really made a commitment to obey God. You know, there's just a good, clean feeling when you know you've done something to obey the Lord. I mean, I think just this week alone, I've made several decisions to do what was right. Amen. Done several decisions. I mean, yesterday in a car, I had to make a right decision. A man was trying to give me some sign language. And first, No. Rabako, bless him, Lord. Save him, God. Turn him around. Amen. And I felt so good when it was over. You know, at first I wished I had a big car and I could just crush that car, you know. I had a quick thought, but I didn't stay there. And you know, it's so important to do and to finish all that God has called us to do. To do and to finish. Jesus said, my meat is to do and to finish in John 4:34, what the Father's called me to do. Paul said, I have finished my course. You know, in the Christian life, it's not win a few, lose a few, what you used to do. It's what you're doing. It's not where you've been, but it's where you are now. It's not what you have done. It's what you're doing right now. Hey, this thing continues up until we're out of here. There's no discharge from this army. Amen? And I just want to say it to you because it's so important to me. I want to finish the things that God's called me to do. As we've just returned from Uganda, to think, let's see, 12 years on the air, and then 2 years before that, 12, 13, 14. 14 years ago, we made a decision. We're going to do what we feel God's called us to do there. And it took a couple of years to get the station up, and then we were on the air, and then some others had some other ideas, and we could have lost that station. But it's just so good to do what God's called us to do. And as we go back each time, someone said this, and I hope you'll understand what I'm saying. They said that the television station has become an institution. In other words, it's recognized. It's not the new kid on the block. There was a time that we were questioned as to whether we should even be there or not. I mean, others question that. But now, you know, I know everything's in the hands of God, but everywhere you turn, people know that and they respect that. We've had even one of our biggest battles has been fellow Christians. But you know, the thing that we can say, and it was said to us, you've done the right thing. You've done the right thing. Now, I want to touch on something here just for a moment. I don't have time to get into it. But it just keeps coming back to me, and I know there's more there than I still have the full understanding on. Genesis, the 12th chapter, and Genesis, the 26th chapter. Abraham, listen to me very carefully. Abraham, there was a famine in the land. Don't stick your head in the sand, folks. There's a famine in the land today. There's some strange things going on. Famine in the land. There is spiritual revival in the land, but there's also spiritual ignorance and just raw heathenism in the land. All Americans don't believe like some of us were raised from a child up. And so there was a famine in the land. Please listen to Pastor Bob Nichols carefully. I'm still not through with Genesis 26. And then I've gone back to Genesis 12. And I realized this is where the root came from. This is where it started. Abraham had a promise. I will bless those that bless thee. And I will curse those that curse thee. And I'm going to make your nation, your name great. You'd have thought you'd never made a mistake after that. If any church has heard covenant promises preached and taught and exemplified, we have in this church. And I believe in it with all my heart. It's not just get saved and keep us from going to hell and go to heaven when we die. There's more to it. There's the abundant life. But a famine comes. And famines come to each of our lives in their own way. It's not just a financial thing. There's emotional famines. There's marriage famines. There's children famines. Grandchildren famines. There's all kinds of famines. Business famines that come to us in life. And a famine is real. A famine's when you don't have, when you feel you don't have what you need, or it's a reality you don't have what you need. In a famine, food is scarce. Water is scarce. But what you do in your moment or time or days of famine will affect the rest of your life. I mean, read Genesis 12. I don't hear faith teachers teaching on this. I have not heard anyone really get serious about the rest of Genesis 12 and the rest of Genesis 26. I have to get serious about these things to keep my sanity. Because I cannot reconcile Romans 4 and Romans 11 with Abraham until I realize he got something straight that got off the track in Genesis 12. And Isaac pulled the same stunt, and Isaac had to get back on track. And when they did, God, through His grace, blessed them. So here's what happens. Famine comes. What's your knee-jerk when a famine comes? What's your word knee-jerk? What is your pocketbook knee-jerk? I'm not giving. I mean, I've heard people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. We're in recession. Man, that's brain dead. What's your knee-jerk? Your wallet, your heart. And I even had people say when gas went up, you know, so high, they said, we can't afford to come to church anymore. And then gas dropped real low, and I still didn't see them. So I knew that wasn't really accurate. I'm smart enough to watch. I can't come to. I said, well, yeah, bless their hearts. Maybe, different things affect different people different ways. But when gas bellied out, I mean, gas was so low in comparison to what it was, I still didn't see them. Maybe the habit felt good. I don't know. But folks, we've got to do what we do because it's right and because I need what happens just like you need what happens when we come as the corporate body of Christ. Church can't save you, but it can sure help your life flow in the abundance of God. You and your marriage and your children. I mean, there's some people don't do anything to nurture their marriage, and then one day everything craters. They blame the church. Some people, they never do anything to get their kids involved with things that can be life-changing. And then one day, things crater, and then the church gets blamed. It's like Dave Wilkerson said years ago, I've got to have your help to help raise your children. I need your help. And as I looked at Abraham, when the famine came, hey, every one of us face, you could be hit with a famine tomorrow. I'm not just talking about food. You know that hopeless feeling? What are we going to do? And it for the moment, it's an honest feeling. You know, what am I going to do? You try to balance your checkbook. You look at things you need. Something happens that you hadn't counted on, you know. And there's a famine in your Egypt. Or there's a famine in the land. Here's what Abraham did. Abraham purposed to go down to Egypt. Egypt has always been a type of this world system. This world system. And let me tell you something. If there's ever a time we need to tithe, if there's ever a time we need to give, if there's ever a time we need to go to church, if there's ever a time we need to serve God and do some extra along that line, it's now. It's now. It's now. No matter what's happening in Washington, we've been over in the middle of all this international news. Man, you know, it's reality. There's a firestorm going on in the world. I think how those families in Afghanistan must feel who have lost a loved one. And now it's nothing. 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 Well, Abraham, when he started to Egypt, his faith went phew. And before long, he turns and asks his wife to do the unthinkable. And he said, Sarah, you know, she was a looker. Isaac's wife, I mean, they were good looking women. Obviously, she was a better looking woman than Abraham was a man. And Abraham kind of twitched in his robe a little bit, and he thought, what's going to... Hey, he said, Sarah, I hate to ask you this, but if a policeman pulls us over, you just get in the policeman's car and just go off with him, and I'll see you later, honey. Yeah, right. Why do we get so super spiritual about things like this? I'm talking reality. So when he started to Egypt, his faith went, and now he's not telling the truth. Well, Brother Nichols, she was his half-sister, but she was not his full. You see? That's a half-truth, and a half-lie is a lie. Now, let's go a little further into this thing. And the same thing happened with Isaac. I know you say, man, that preacher's gone strange as much. No, there are... Why did God give so many verses to that? And there's sermons that every preacher in the world has preached that hinge on one or two verses. One or two verses. Jabez. But why did God give so many verses in Genesis 12 and so many verses in Genesis 26 if the thing was not important? There's more scriptural verses given to this than a lot of things that we teach and preach and shout from the housetops. All right, so there he is. Now, the problem with going to Egypt, he went there, he said, we're going there temporarily. It's the hardest thing in the world to send temporarily. You either do or you don't. You're committed or you're not. God Almighty, according to the customs of things then, by the grace of God, Sarai was not touched. Miracle of God. Now here's what I want to say to us today. It shows me how good God is that even when we miss it bad, when we don't tell the truth, when we don't act like we should act, that God still loves us. And the grace of God is still extended toward us. Not to bless us to continue there, Because with Isaac, it said, that situation dwelt a long time. It's in the Bible. A long time. How long's a long time? My wife was in somebody else's house, it'd be a long, long time, I'm telling you. You women, you wouldn't get mad at your husband, you'd kill him. It wouldn't be a domestic disturbance. Huh? Abraham, our great faith father, missed it. He didn't say the right thing. He didn't. He subjected his wife. Really, I mean, when I read the story, I want to whip him. This is not good. He said, they will kill me. I'm a weenie. Wimp. They will kill me. They'll kill me for you. Well, I thought that's what it's all about. We give our life. No greater love than you lay down your life for another. But you know I'm telling you. How many know I'm telling you the truth? If your pastor acted like that, you'd never come to my church again. Unless you're weird too. If you heard that Brother Mark acted like that, did you hear what Brother Charlie heard? Did you hear what Brother Mark, you wouldn't believe it. I read on Facebook. I don't want everybody knowing everything I'm doing. That's my business. I better watch it. I'll get in trouble here. Here it is. Abraham, Sarai. Famine. Challenge. Faith challenge. Life challenge. Budget challenge. Health. Whatever it was. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll go down. When you go to Egypt, you always go down. Go down. Going to go down. So the minute they start down, then he starts thinking. Wheels start turning. Sarah, no hard feelings, honey, but you just, if we get stopped, if you just tell them, you're my sister, or else they'll kill me. I'm working on that. I'm working on that, but it still makes me mad. But I've also got to remember this. Listen to me. Who of us can stand up and say, I've lived a perfect life? Put me on the screen. Oh, there'd be several new exits made out of this auditorium. We've all missed it in our own way. Maybe some major, some maybe some minor, but one bullet will take you out. But listen to me. Listen to me. Oh, God. As I read this story, after I get over being mad at Abraham and Isaac, I have to see grace. My mother used to sing this song in church. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sins. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Let me tell you this morning. You may have gone to Egypt. You may have done the wrong thing. You may have been in the wrong place. May have been in the wrong bed. Drank the wrong fluid. Or just gossiped. Or had a bad spirit. Or gotten into strife. You know, there's more way to sin than one. But I'm here to tell you today, the grace of God has come into this room today in the form of Pastor Bob Nichols to tell you that even though you've missed it, God still loves you and God will get you out of Egypt. God will deliver you from Egypt. I said God's will is to deliver us from Egypt. Whatever part of Egypt still has a hold on us, God's here to bring us out of Egypt and to break habits that hurt us and hurt others. And so God in His mercy comes and talks to Pharaoh with Abraham, and then it happened over, of course, in Matthew 26. And he dealt with those rulers. Now here's the miracle. I mean, those folks, you know, we're dealing with that in the world today. I mean, they're not exactly happy people when you cross them. Most of us aren't. But they came to Abraham and they came to Isaac and said, what? I mean, instead of coming to kill them, they came to say, look, bad decisions, bad deal. Take your wife and get out of here, and I'm going to give you silver and gold and cattle. Now, who but God could pull off a deal like that? Those rulers didn't come and strip them of everything they had materially and say, hit the road. But they came and they said, just get out, and commanded the whole household, don't touch that woman. With Abraham as well as with Isaac. And should I remind you that probably Isaac happened because of Abraham. Because our actions are trickled down. Oh, God, help us to be living examples of what the Christian life should really all be about. We live in a day when it seems like there's no conviction. I mean, in Hollywood, it's the biggest perverted mess that's coming out. The only reason I know is because I don't watch television. I really don't. But when I travel, you can't. It's all around you. It's all around you. And I don't even know what's behind the sound, but I know the scenes. And I mean, if you just look to the left for a minute, to the right, bang, you see something that you're not wanting to see. And I think, oh God, it's so refreshing just to see an old Western, you know, horses and cowboys and saving the calf that fell in the river, you know. And all right. Man, that's just so refreshing. Here's what I want to say. You do and you finish all God's called you to do. You see, Abraham, instead of God killing him, and if God didn't kill him, Pharaoh would kill him. Number three, his wife would have killed him. Abraham leaves a bad situation with cattle and silver and gold. And it's just a verse or two there until it said he was very rich. Now, is that fair? This man's goofed up. He's messed. You know, that's the grace of God. Life's not over if you've missed it. This ought to be the greatest message of hope that some people have ever heard. If you've done the wrong thing and made the bad choices, hey, it's not all over. It's not all over. God loves you. But God loves you so much, He wants to get you out of Egypt. And if you'll make that decision, I'm coming out of Egypt. Get ready for the silver. Get ready for the gold. Get ready for the cattle. Get ready for the greater blessings of God. Final one. I don't have time to really get into it, but to let nothing, no one, nothing steal our faith. 1 Timothy 1:19 said, there are those that have turn from faith and they've made shipwreck. People make fun of faith people, word people. Not smart. What else is there? Paul said they swerve, they turn from their faith in God and turn to their faith in Egypt, if you'll let me paraphrase. Turn to their faith in Egypt. There's no life in Egypt. 90% of what's on the tube, there's no life there. 90% of, high 90% of it, there's no life there. You watch it and so what? I mean, I saw this guy. I think he went to the bathroom once. I mean, in 9 hours, he sits there. I thought, man, this guy must have a boring life. Well, I just need to be entertained. Have you tried praying in the Spirit lately? Have you prayed in the Spirit for an hour? 30 minutes? I was praying in the Spirit early this morning and God spoke some things to my heart. I said, thank you, Lord. It's the way of the transgressor that's hard. Psalms 1 said the righteous will be blessed. Blessed is the man. So don't let famine steal your faith. Whether it's a little famine, a big famine, love God more than anything or anyone. Know God, purpose to know God. Purpose to please God. Purpose to live clean and pure before God. Purpose to obey God. It's better than sacrifice. Purpose to let no one steal our faith. The most pitiful look you'll ever see in anyone's lives is someone that's been used of God, but they're no longer used of God. Have you ever looked into a set of eyes like that? Fortunately, I haven't seen that many, but boy, those that I saw, I said, I'm going to keep serving God on my worst day. For some reason, I stick my foot in Egypt, I'm not going to stay there. Have a wrong thought, I'm not going to quit.